This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another program in our Citizens Council Forum series. Today, we're happy to welcome back with us Congressman William Collmer, a Democrat of Mississippi. Mr. Collmer is the ranking Democrat on the powerful House Rules Committee. We're very happy that you were able to take time out to be with us today, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be with you, Dick.
Let's discard the legislative cares of the moment, if you can, and look a little bit into the future. Let's get out our crystal balls and look ahead to 1960, to the national conventions of both political parties. Does it seem to you at the moment that both parties are going to finally recognize the South as an entity to be dealt with?
Well, Dick, I would say as of the moment, in all candor and with some disappointment, that I don't see too much evidence of that now. The tendency, it seems to me, on the part of both parties is to continue to seek the vote of the strong minority groups. I believe that you realize, as I'm sure most people must realize, that this government is being operated largely by minority groups. The minority groups are not as strong as the great majority of our people, but the point is that they are organized, and the great majority is not organized, and therefore the tendency of the politicians of both parties is to seek the vote of these minority or bloc voters, such as the CIOAFL, the NAACP, the ADA, and these other groups that we consider to the left of center.
Mr. Collmer, then it would appear to you that both parties in 1960 will once again have candidates and platforms that will be appealing to these minority groups and that will be either ignoring or slapping the South in the face.
Well, I would say that that will be true unless the South really asserts itself. We are the strongest minority group, potential minority group in the country. But yet we are ignored largely because we in the South permit ourselves to be taken for granted. For instance, it's nothing new to you to be reminded that of the old expression about the South is in the bag. Therefore, the Democrats ignore us, they pay no attention to us, they seek these minority bloc voters, and of course the Republicans don't look to anything from us, don't offer us anything, because we in turn give them nothing. It's the old story of the enough organized minority groups controlling the unorganized majority.
Mr. Collmer, exactly how much strength does the South have when it gets to this business of electing a president and organizing a Congress?
Well, as I just intimated, the South is the strongest possible potential minority group. But it doesn't stand together, and I'll want to comment on that a little later on, if I may. The South has 128 electoral votes out of 532. If the South would assert itself in the Democratic Party, where it's taken for granted, it would get some consideration both in the matter of the selection of a candidate and in the writing of a platform. Of course, the same thing holds true in the organization of the Congress. If the South were to stand together, it could exercise itself. The trouble has been that our politicians all run off in different directions instead of unifying, not only for the interests of the South, but for the interests of the country, because we feel that the Southern point of view, the Southern philosophy, is not only good for the South, but it's good for the nation.
Well, in other words then, Mr. Collmer, you feel that the first thing that the South should do and that the political leaders of the South should do is go into the national conventions of both parties, most particularly the Democratic Party, and insist upon a platform and upon candidates acceptable to the South.
Dick, I've been advocating that for 20 years, practically ever since I've been in Congress. Apparently, we haven't gotten very far, but I think our people have got to realize now that it's later than most people seem to realize, and that we have got possibly this last chance to make our weight felt. And I do hope that our Southern leaders can forget their own desire for political preference in the hands of the party, at the hands of the party, and unify and demand something for the Southern philosophy, or for the that philosophy which, after all, is the philosophy that has made this country really what it is today, the envy of the civilized world. And something that we are gradually losing because of the demands of these unorganized, these organized minority groups. That is what is responsible for your left-wing court, Supreme Court. That's what's responsible for a great deal of this left-wing legislation. Now, to illustrate, only a few days ago, we passed H.R. 3, which is a bill sponsored by my chairman, Howard Smith of Virginia, Congressman Howard Smith, and which, incidentally, I hope you'll pardon my saying that I'm a co-sponsor of. Now, we passed that bill in spite of these groups that to which I referred. We had, for the first time, I think, in the House of Representatives, a solid, united front with our Southern members. Of course, we were not strong enough to put it across ourselves, but we had considerable help from the Republican members of the House. It may be interesting to note in that connection that we only got one Northern Democratic vote in that bill, in the passage of that bill.
Now, Mr. Collmer, getting back to 1960, let's assume that the South does unite and goes to the major party conventions and yet is still disregarded. Suppose that both parties come up with candidates and platforms that we can't buy. Then what would you say we should do?
Well, I'd say in the first place, Dick, that's going to happen unless we become unified in the South and exercise our rights and our privileges and make a bold, forthright showing to the politicians who control the Democratic Party. Now, it's quite obvious, as the situation looks now, that a candidate will be nominated who advocates these things that we decry. Now, if we will exercise our rights and if we will become united, we can prevent that from happening. Now, if they do that, we should have in our bag some plans for what we are going to do. And for that reason, I bring back something that I have, again, if you'll pardon the personal reference, been advocating for many years, and that is independent electors. The Constitution of the United States, as prepared by the Founding Fathers, never had any idea to start with, that we would elect candidates from one party, not candidates, but delegates or electors to the Electoral College who were bound to vote for any particular candidate. They were elected originally, and that was the idea of the Founding Fathers, to go to the Electoral College and cast their ballots for the man who best represented the people whom they represented and by whom they were sent up there. So if the South would unite now, if they would make the machinery, get the machinery in order to send independent electors up to the Electoral College after the candidates were voted in November, and they went to the Electoral College in December, they could go up there as a block of 128 electors, and they could throw, the chances are that they could throw that election either way that they saw fit. In other words, they could carry out the concept of the Founding Fathers as they provided in the Constitution when they set up the method of selecting a candidate for president.
And I'd like to make it clear now that you're not talking in terms of a third political party, but of independent electors.
I'm talking of independent electors. However, I wouldn't write off the possibility of a third party, because I think we still ought to keep that back in reserve.
Mr. Colmer, our time has gone by very quickly today. I'd like to thank you once again for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dick. It's a pleasure to have been with you today.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Representative William Colmer, the Dean of the Mississippi Congressional Delegation. We'll be back again next week at the same time with another program in our Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.